That's the image I was perseverating on. That's the image I was obsessing on. Well, no, not that one. Let's just sit back and relax here as long as it takes. Up to 60% off on all products and apparel. Buy one, get one free on the best-selling products. The coin, all of it. We are in a fundraising mode to battle the globalist. I want to hire more hosts, more crew, more reporters, bigger than InfoWars ever was. I need your help. We've delivered. We have never BS'd you. We are 100% committed to the fight. The globalists are coming after my ass, everything they got. But I got one more silver dollar, and I'm not going to let them catch. No, I'm not going to let them catch the Midnight Rider. Not going to happen. But let's go to this powerful report and back with your calls on the other side. Treason is scum. America sees you.
In the shadow of America's 250th birthday, a grotesque spectacle unfolded that would make our founding fathers leap out of their graves. New York City Mayor Zoran Mamdani perched arrogantly backwards behind George Washington's historic desk at City Hall, delivered a so-called address on the eve of July 4th that wasn't a celebration of independence, but a venomous tirade against the very soul of this republic.
The irony is that the story of America has so often been written by those who were told by others with power and influence and wealth that they were anything but exceptional. The powerful have always known their answer. America, in their view, is an arena of supremacy, where only a select few are allowed freedom, where not all are created equal. America, if you ask them, becomes less the more people it welcomes. America, they will tell you, belongs only to those with the right accent or the right shade of skin. The rest of us, they insist, should be grateful for merely being allowed to visit. How small they are. How weak. How unoriginal. At every moment in our past, those who led through exclusion and isolation have tried to win power and enrich themselves by turning us against one another.
Mamdani painted America as an unending parade of horrors, while Mamdani's wife skipped America's 250th anniversary to attend an Islamic spiritual wellness retreat in Mallorca, Spain, as podcaster Sneeko proclaimed that New York had been captured by Islam.
This is the Islamic Republic of New Yorkistan. Islam will be in every household. Inshallah, the whole world is Muslim. Welcome to Mamdani's New York. You see this city? You see how it looks? Inshallah, your city looks just like this too.
And this wasn't an isolated affront of the 250th milestone. From weather-disrupted parades and canceled celebrations that were turned into political theater, while Larry David...
It was embarrassing. I was embarrassed to be an American.
...took the opportunity under the Obama's production company to rewrite American history.
Anyone who won't accept the results of a free and fair election is a sociopath.
A madman. Yeah.
A man like that can even foment an insurrection rather than just admit that he lost.
Stop! This is madness! This is madness!
The communist destroys your history so he can take your home and rebuild it in his image. That's why it's your patriotic duty to celebrate today unashamed. It's okay to love America. Not only is it okay to love America, it's necessary to love America.
They looked at the Declaration of Independence under a microscope, and in the original draft, they wrote our fellow subjects. And then Jefferson literally wrote citizens on top of subjects. And that's the mindset shift. The shift right there was, hey, we're not subjects. We are people. We have inalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And if we don't like the government, it's not only our obligation to change that government, it's our duty to change that government.
While the youth of America bites the hand that feeds, America sees you and your coordinated erosion of the American spirit, where dissent masquerades as virtue and sovereignty is smeared as supremacy. But the 4th of July isn't an apology. It is defiance in the face of tyranny, and the tyrants are glowing in the dark. John Bound reporting for the Alex Jones Network at alexjoneslive.com.
Globalists are collapsing worldwide, but they're fighting back with tyranny, censorship, and more. And they have targeted my operation more than anybody else's. But that's okay. That means we're over the target. It means we're effective. And I couldn't have done any of this without you. All of the success of my operation through the listeners, the viewers, your word of mouth, your support, and of course, the great crew. And that's why I want to just thank you all as America approaches its 250th anniversary. We have to understand they're trying to demoralize us, trying to break our will. We can't let them do that. It's the globalists that are losing. We're actually winning. So, to celebrate America's 250th anniversary, we're launching the biggest sale in the history of thealexjonesstore.com. Buy one, get one free, ultramethylene blue. Buy one, get one free, bovine colostrum. Buy one, get one free, Shilajit Complex. So incredible. And up to 60% off on all the other supplements, 50% off on all the Patriot apparel, limited edition, 250th anniversary, and more. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason we stay on the air and celebrate our American Republic, the globalist hate.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Does anybody really know the secret or the combination for this life and where to keep it? It's kind of sad when you don't know the meaning, but everything happens for a reason. Everything happens for a reason. I don't even know what I should say, because I'm an idiot, a loser, microphone abuser. I analyze every second I exist, beating up my mind every second with my fists. And everybody wanna run.
I don't know about you, but I love exposing tyrants, and I love the millions of you tune in right now, and I really love it when you decide to take the live feed at alexjoneslive.com/show and rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive and Real Alex Jones on X and share it like your future depends on it, because it does! I know why you want to hate me, Soros. I know why you want to hate me, Bill Gates. It's because you know in the end you're losers, and you know God is going to defeat you, and you know I'm metaphysically, nonviolently going to get my hands around your neck. Yeah! Yeah! Woo! I'm a globalist crushing, pedophile smashing, tyranny destroying wrecking ball. And I'm going to take you down, New World Order, if it's the last thing I do. And I take all your latest challenges and stalking and attacks on my family as a challenge I accept. And I'm leveling up, bitches. And I am about to release the pain. I know. But I don't fight you because I hate you. I fight you because I love the people. And I love taking you on. And I've just begun to fight. Da-na-na. Da-na-na. Da-na-na, da-na-na, da-na-na. Jesse on Fire joins us in the next hour with some huge topics. But first, your phone calls. Peter, Ryan, Jay, Ryan, Scott, John, and others. We now take you live. Peter in Florida, you're on the air worldwide.
Hey, Alex. I appreciate your pump-up speech there. But, you know, on the 250th, July 4th, I really wanted to be excited and patriotic, but it actually felt like a funeral to me. Like, I would love to celebrate freedom and independence, but the fact of the matter is, in 2026, we are not free and we are not independent. And we, the people, are subject to excessive taxation without representation. Mm-hmm. Our government is fully co-opted by special interests and foreign powers, just like it was for George Washington and Thomas Jefferson. And, you know, our population, and this includes myself, you know, we've become so domesticated that our ancestors rioted in Boston over a 3-cent tax on tea. Meanwhile, we get milked 40% of our income and just continue to take it. And, you know, I love the flyovers and the jets, and it's all inspiring, everything that man can create. But it just feels like it just felt like bread and circuses to distract, you know, from what's really needed to save the country. And, you know, the Supreme Court losses and the Rhino betrayals, and we have Supreme Court justices who can't define what a woman is, but they define an American as any welfare parasite that, you know, touches foot in Guam or Puerto, or, you know, another territory. Like, it's just, you know, there was so much revolutionary fervor when Trump got reelected of arresting the deep state, mass deportations, you know, the salt of the earth Americans kind of reasserting.
Well, listen, themselves. I think you've made your point. I'll let you elaborate, but I got a bottle of Topo Chico here. I usually like it in the glass bottles, but they haven't been producing those for about 3 months. But you could say, is it half empty or half full? And really, it's only about a third full because I've been drinking it. Let me explain something to you and see if you disagree. I've been on air 32 years plus, and I've been politically active about 36. And I've seen us move the needle in people being aware, people being engaged, people involved, not just here, but around the world, from going like 5 miles an hour against the globalists to going about 150 miles an hour. And the Bilderberg group's out in the open, and the pedophile rings are out in the open, and the globalists are having to steal elections in Europe and getting caught and being reversed, and Starmer's resigning. And it's a long group of battles leading to the war that we're in and winning the war. And so you don't, I totally agree with everything you're saying from that perspective. But at the same time, I see grassroots out there on the street, how many people of every race, color, and creed are waking up. And I have eternal optimism because back when I've started, 1% of people knew about this. Now like 30, 40% know. And the educational curve and the awakening curve and the time in history we're in, we're at the end of a decadent cycle. The fourth turning's here. The globalists admit that they are in serious fear. They know they're losing control. Everything's going against them. Israel trying to run us has been totally exposed. And so then I, you know, see all the doom and gloom, and I saw the Patriot Front, you know, out there with their speech. It was a pretty eloquent speech, and I agree with most of it, but it was also doom and gloom, and we're all screwed, and you know, nothing's real, and a whole bunch of good stuff's happened under Trump. It's not perfect, but it's and we're going to get more, and we don't just ride it on Trump. We've got all these other things that are going on, and so I cover a lot of negative bad things because I respect everybody. I believe if we spotlight the bad stuff, we can then deal with it. So as long as we can speak and be engaged and involved and individually are good leaders in our own lives with our families at the cellular level in the body politic, we can change the course of history. So I agree to list the negative, but then why are you calling in if it sounds like you're saying we're doomed, or are you calling in with just a wake-up call? Quantify what you're saying.
Yeah, so awareness, which obviously you've been contributing to for 30 plus years, is a massive part of it. But, you know, awareness only works when coupled with action. And like, obviously, that's what the whole getting Trump elected thing was about. But I just don't see the right. Our country has cancer, and Trump was supposed to be the radical chemotherapy. But I don't think, you know, it kind of just seems like he's doing vitamins and Band-Aids. And I'm worried that we won't, with the prison planet that's being built, we won't be able to organize the grassroots or get the true, you know, Caesar Lincoln historical figure like, you know, George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and the founding fathers that we need in this moment. And
well, know, that's because at those moments they had a population that was more informed and ready to go. And we're in the process of that in the fourth turning. This is a cyclical thing. The globalists are going against, like salmon trying to swim upstream, against the tidal forces of nature and history. And so I don't think you're wrong in general. I'm saying that there is a way to just augment your overall, you know, frustration and put it into more energy and realize we don't have a choice. And then if we're demoralized, I'm not saying that's what you're doing, but it can be taken by others as that. That's what the enemy wants. Everything they do is about getting us to give up. And so I never thought Trump was going to fix everything. And the first administration, he brought in some of the wrong people, got weighed down, didn't know what he was doing. The first 4 or 5 months, it was splendid. It was going so well, I couldn't believe it. Then using the Epstein blackmail and whatever he discovered and whatever was going on in his circle, that went sideways. The Charlie Kirk fiasco, obviously the official story is not true. That hurt him bad. Now the Iran thing, the economy, the inflation. But you see him trying to pull back and correct that and saying, I'm the boss, not Netanyahu. That's so fundamental to show he understands that's a huge issue, both for his ego, but also with the constituents. And so I'm realizing that they're going to try to pack the court, the Democrats get back in, and things like that. And so I'm still saying, don't just throw out all the Republicans. Look at good candidates. You know, look at our ideology. Expose the left's ideology while we expose problems in our own populist beachhead inside the so-called Republican kingdom. I just know a lot of people like you just want to stay on the negative drumbeat. And it's okay to spend some time on that. But I just think overall, it's not taking us anywhere. We don't have a choice. This is the planet we're on. This is what's going down. I've seen the power of the people if they get motivated. By the way, that wasn't some pump you up speech. I didn't sit there for an hour and plan that. I got fired up and quite frankly, not even mad at the crew. I get OCD about some things. I wanted a graphic I saw that looked really cool and they couldn't find it. So I didn't really get mad. I went crazy. And then I was also thinking about the stalking and the stuff that's going on and being followed around, the current harassment, which is absolute oxygen in an engine. It's absolute nitrous oxide, just blah. I mean, I've got to control myself. These people think threatening me and all the stuff they do, like, makes me get scared. You know, all it makes me do is, you know, oil my guns in reality and in the info war. And so I'm so damn alive right now. I got lightning bolts shooting out my eyes. Okay. So that was not some calculated thing. I mean, I had to control myself to not really, you know, turn into a goblin on air, okay? Because I'm in war mode, brother. So I appreciate your call. Very eloquent caller. And I'm not mad at him. I'm not saying he's wrong. Is the glass half empty or half full? We got to deal with what we got to deal with. Ryan in Israel, you're on the air. Welcome worldwide. Good to hear from you.
Hi, Alex. I appreciate your show. I just have, you seem to be saying that Trump is being blackmailed by Israel through the Epstein files, and that's why he was taken into this Iran war, which the Pentagon knew that he will lose. My question on that is, if Trump really knew that he'll probably lose the war, and he didn't really want to do it, why didn't he wait till after the midterms to start the war? Because if he knew it will take the country down the drain, even Israel wants him probably to win the midterms if they could actually blackmail him. So, if
well, I don't. Here's the thing: I don't think I know what's going on with Trump. He didn't ever screw kids. That's not his MO. It never happened. They would have used it. Then when they actually brought him all the files, he was shocked to hear Ludnick and a bunch of other Republicans and Lex Wessner were heavily involved, and he made the decision. I talked to people that were there, and the CIA was there, and they said, sir, it'll destroy the stock market. It'll ruin the country. There's more Democrats than Republicans, but this is too horrible, and it's all old, so we can't prosecute, and national security, we need to kill this. That's why he's like, release it all. Sure, great. And then they're like, okay, here's the stuff. And he's like, what the hell? And it was the wrong move. So he more kind of used it to blackmail the deep state. Then that's why he's pissed off, because they still turn around and use it on him. And then now he's really pissed. And so that's what's going on with Trump. You know, as for saying Israel's blackmailing, it's more the CIA, Israel, MI6 at the top. It's all the same thing. And so that's where we are. But Trump does like Israel. He does like Jews. You know, his dad brought him up, hiring all sorts of people, black people, women, you name it. But a lot of Jews work for Trump. Trump likes Jews. His daughter's married to an Orthodox Jew. He does want peace. He does want the Abraham Accords. He likes the Saudi Arabians. He likes the gold palaces and all that. And so he wants to be the big peace guy. And he is concerned about Iran. And he really believes he was doing the right thing. And because they've told him they got nukes. Okay, that's why they're like, oh, we got to stop them getting nukes. We got to stop their missile delivery systems. Everybody's like, you're with Netanyahu. You're admitting they have nukes. Well, it's all admitted. The Iranians now admit they have nukes, as I told you. And Saudi Arabia's got nukes from Pakistan. This is all well known for anybody that's dialed in. My God. So I get the perspective. The point is, we weren't going to probably win it. Netanyahu knew that and wanted to drag us into a long war. He has been convicted. He needs this war to stay in power. And that's not even for Israel's interest. This is bad moves. Look, I said it. If we could get the mullahs out there in 4 days and then the West wouldn't put in somebody worse, which they always do, look at Syria, just like they put the vice president communist in and aren't having elections in Venezuela. What? They're going to topple Cuba probably and leave the commies in charge and just arrest the leadership. I don't want to topple countries and put the commies back in, which I predicted they would do. I mean, I'm just like, we need to be moral here, folks. And so then I get called, you know, all the Qatari agent and all this crap. And, oh, you're with the Muslims. Give me a break. So all the former Mossad chiefs went public. You're in Israel, you know this, and said this Netanyahu's insane. This shouldn't be happening. But in America, people don't even know that. They literally, if they're a Christian Zionist, have no earthly idea how all this works. And they think that literally everyone that is against this disastrous war wears Hitler underwear. What a What is your view, and what's your background? What do you do in Israel? Sounds like you're young.
Okay. Yeah, I'm actually an American citizen. I'm a student in Israel. My point is that if Trump knew that he probably won't win this war the way he projected he will win it, there was probably an imminent threat that he and the people in the White House knew about that we don't know about, which pulled him into it, because you're agreeing that Netanyahu doesn't have the power to pull Trump into a war. So,
I mean, we know what it is. The Secretary of State told us, and I already knew this. I don't just believe Rubio, but it's true. And Vance has gone public. Israel was going to strike, so Trump did midnight hammer the first time. Netanyahu has since bragged about 2 weeks ago. And Israel struck on the 28th of February, and then they knew the Iranians were going to strike our bases. So Israel did drag us into it. Go ahead.
Well, everybody knows that Israel can't, you know, fight without America's help. It can't be that Israel was just forced America into it. If Trump knew that it will turn the entire America down the tubes, he wouldn't just say, okay, Israel fought, we'll go into it. Though he would just let Israel go down the tubes without America. Trump,
but Israel wouldn't go down the tubes. Israel had already defeated Iran's proxies 90%. But Netanyahu would be in jail now, so that's why the war has to keep going. Israel was in a good position a year ago and had won, but they hadn't had the Lebensraum, living space, greater Israel, cuckoo stuff, and which will never work. Now they want to fight Turkey and Egypt. I mean, cuckoo town. I appreciate your call. Just absolute cuckoo town. Now, I mentioned this. This is from Lord of the Rings. When Minas Tirith is under assault by the forces of Mordor, and Gandalf and everybody shows up, and the son of the Stuart, there hadn't been any kings in, you know, dozens of generations, but the real king, Aragorn, has shown up. And this is all, according to Tolkien, an allegory of Christianity in the West. And the Stuart says, it's all lost, abandoned, open the gates, we're all dead. He goes and pours basically gasoline, oil all over himself, and lights himself on fire. And I'm just saying, there's no point in doing that because God's watching. And this is all a test. So no matter what happens to us, we are to defend freedom, tell the truth, stand up against evil, and not be the Steward of Gondor, who, when the king shows up, the rightful king stands in his way and says, no, we're doomed, it's over. I'm not saying the caller before last is like that, but that's where we're headed with this attitude. Here it is.
My sons are spent. My line has ended.
He's alive.
The House of Stuarts has failed.
He needs medicine, my lord.
My line has ended. Rohan has deserted us.
Vote Democrat. That'll show him. Open the gates. Don't get conned by Trump again. Don't. Trump's gone. Trump doesn't matter. We are the Republican Party. We're taking it over. Don't give up and take our ball home and give it over to Israel First Lobby that started a fight with us so Trump would attack us so they could run us out of the party. It's our party. Don't let them play that game. Don't take our ball and go home. I guess somebody was rude to us when we showed up for what's ours. We have the deed to the Republic. Not Israel. Not the... Abandon your post! Run for the hill! Vote Democrat! Now! The Muslims are invincible!
Prepare for battle!
Is there more? Let's just watch Lord of the Rings here. All right, let's go back to your phone calls. Who's up next here? Is it John in Michigan? Who's been holding the longest? Is it Scott? Is it Jay? Is it Jefferson? Let's go to Scott. No, it's not Scott. It's, man, my eyes. I got to start wearing glasses. It's Jay. Jay in Ohio, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Good to talk to you.
Yes, sir.
So on the topics, I picked the Alicia Keys one. I just want to start by asking, in a plush, you know, safe, prosperous society, do you think the women have ultimately, they hold the power?
Yeah, that's why 80% of advertising targets women, because women make most of the women make most of the purchases. And you can't argue that since women have come to power with the establishment, that not singling all women out, just in general, and a lot of women will tell you this is true, things are going to hell in a handbasket.
Agree 100%. Real quick, I just want to say I'm 40, single dad to a child, to a boy in his mid-teens now. And I've talked to women between, let's say, 25 and 50, and it's scary. And I know the younger ones, they are a lot different than the older ones, but I had some.
Well, let's do this, and then I'll shut up and have you talk. Yeah, that was an hour ago. I covered that. Let's reintroduce it.
Sure.
She's worth $150 million. She came out for July 4th and said, America sucks. Women have no rights. We've lost. We don't have rights. We're slaves, and women have more rights than anybody. 70% of the college graduates, they're mostly executives now. She's worth $150 million. The Obamas do the same crap with hundreds of millions of dollars and huge palaces. And it's just, it's obscene. And I showed other women saying, I'm sick of these construction workers making noise. These men just make noise on the highway and fixing stuff to be mean to us while we kill ourselves, busting our asses. And this is what they've done to a lot of women, turning them into these man-hating machines, totally out of their minds, living on pink pillows while we kill ourselves slaving for them. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that my son is actually the oldest grandchild of a retired deputy at this point. But anyway, I got to see up close and personal, you know, 15 years ago almost, through custody battles, I got to see up close and personal what could be done to, you know, wreck somebody. And it just brought it up somewhat recently because I haven't talked to many over 10 years or so, but somebody told me that they would ruin me. And I was like, you're right. You absolutely could. I mean, without an ounce of me doing wrong, you know. And I don't say all this to scare off young men at all, because there are good women out there. But it just worries me. Like, if I see a male influencer get paid to say some wild stuff like that, you know, it's one of those things where you look at me.
Well, that's the thing. For the 4th of July, all these so-called celebrities, movie stars, music people, they all came out and bashed the country. I can play hundreds of clips right now of the same crap. Minorities are horrible here. You know, they have no rights. Women, it's horrible here. America sucks. The forefathers suck. I mean, it's all these rich elitists saying it to divide us and make us give up our birthright so the globalists can come in with their universal basic income, social credit score, central bank digital currency. And it's disgusting. And I mean, men are our problem. Average men, white men, men in general, and a bunch of rich women who are just collaborators reading a script given to them by Hollywood and the music executives to hurt this country. It is disgusting.
Yes, sir.
Oprah Winfrey, worth billions of dollars, running the country down all day. These are just hired mercenaries.
Can I have a request real quick for music coming in later?
Sure.
I love Megadeth's early bass line, so whether it's Countdown to Extinction, preferably, or Peace Sells, but something with a good bass line today.
You want Countdown to Extinction? Yeah, we'll play that for you.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, it's not name-dropping. I've been forever friends with Dave Mustaine. He stayed at my house quite a few times and stuff, and I'm always too busy to deal with stuff. And he goes, I'm coming out with a new album called Endgame based on your movie. I'd like you to write, he wrote Four Horsemen for Metallica. He said, I'd like you to write the new Four Horsemen. And I said, no, you just go ahead and do it. And he put out a whole album based on my show, and I didn't contribute to it.
Celebrate America's 250th birthday. The biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com is live right now, but only for 3 days. I was 2 years old in 1976 when America celebrated its 200th anniversary. Well, I'm 52 now, and it's the 250th. No republic, no empire, no nation has ever survived more than 250 years. But America has to survive. The idea of America, private property, the right to lead your own life, to follow your own religion or not, so many things that this country enshrined that no other nation had became the model of the world. That's why the left, why BlackRock, why the globalists, why the WEF, why the UN openly want to discredit it. The elites don't like the idea of America because it allows the little people to have meritocracy and develop their own wealth and their own independence.
The globalists want neo-feudalism. They want serfdom. They want a great reset to control us. So they've been trying to undermine this country, demonize this country, and blame all the problems in the world on the freedom of America and the West and Christianity and white people. But it's not working. The world is awakening to the Great Reset, and we are in the Great Awakening. That's why it's so important on our 250th anniversary that we remember what made America great and that we continue those values on in the face of tyranny. Because the ideas we're promoting work and are pro-human, are dynamic, and unleash the incredible competition of the human spirit and meritocracy. If we don't stand up for not just 1776 here in the U.S., but worldwide, then we allow the globalists, the megabanks, with their transhumanist, death cult, depopulation agenda to come in and sell their lie of collectivism, universal basic incomes, cashless society, control grids, the social credit scores, and the entire system of dehumanization that they're establishing. We are literally facing freedom or slavery. It's a choice we must take. So to celebrate this 250th anniversary, we have the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. 50% off on all of the incredible Patriot apparel. The widest selection, some of the best designs in the world. What an adventure to wear this apparel and meet like-minded people and spread the word. And then most importantly, the very best game-changing five-star supplements on the planet. Up to 60% off, and all the best sellers are buy one, get one free. This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, it's a flash sale. Ultramethylene Blue, the best on the market, buy one, get one free. Bovine Colostrum, the best, highest rate on the market, buy one, get one free. Shilajit Complex, that has all these natural peptides and boost your testosterone and more. Buy one, get one free. As I said, up to 60% off on all the other supplements. The lowest is 40, the highest is 60. These are insanely good. All you've got to do is try them. We have over a 90% reorder rate at thealexjonesstore.com. And anyone who's shopping on the site should be a VIP. Cancel anytime. It's $30 a month. Instantly when you're charged, $40 is put in your account to spend on the site. You make $10, special deals, special offers, and sales on top of the sales, making a bunch of stuff loss leaders if you're a VIP. So become a VIP, commit to the American Republic in the year 2026. Help keep the broadcast on the air so we can expand the Alex Jones Network. It's a win-win. So to celebrate America and to stand against the globalist death cult, please support your own future and my future, our collective future together, by individual action at thealexjonesstore.com. Happy birthday, America. I salute all of our founders, our veterans, and all the patriots out there. God bless you all.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
The globalists have a plan for the countdown of extinction of humans. It's official. Post-human world. Look it up. Why the future doesn't need us. Looking forward to the end of humans. Just type in those terms. You'll be reading the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, the BBC.
Caged species, caged in fright, shot in cold blood, no chance to fight. The stage is set, now pay the price. An ego boost, don't think twice.
This song's about canned hunt. People like have a baby elephant tied up and shoot it. Not very fun. But I have been on canned hunts on like 12,000 acre ranches where the animals are wild and then they give the meat to charity or you can keep it. And I like the little cheap stuff, like $400 per mountain goat. So I can shoot them 800 yards from the front of a Jeep. The windshield folds down, 300 Win Mag, laser beam. Mountain goat pops up, boom, pop goes the weasel, bitch, right in the chest. Got a bunch of footage of that. The crew's like, maybe we shouldn't put this out. I'm like, why? It's just hunting. Crank it up. Oh, they paid big money to kill the last one. They made that movie with the guy from Ferris Bueller, where he wants to eat the Komodo dragon. Shot a buffalo with a crossbow. That's pretty cool. That was good eating. Filled up two deep freezes. When I shot it, it was a bull, and a bunch of the others started attacking it, and I had these veterans with me. They were smart guys who had never shot a buffalo, and they go, look, they're helping him. They're trying to get him up, back up. No, they didn't like him because he got all the women. They were ramming into him, trying to make, when he was already dying, because they hated him. When he was finally down, they attacked him. Then they attacked our Jeep, and I said, see, they're not our friends. And they started chasing our Jeep, and I said, you know what, I want some more of this meat. I said, how much for another one, they tell you. So we wheeled back around, got it, loaded his bow up, and just, boom, right down to the back of the neck. Boom, hit the ground. And then they came with a tractor, drug him 3 miles back to the butcher. All these Mexicans haul him up on a big chain, and they get those big old razor-sharp knives. It's 30 minutes, it's all chopped up on a big table. All those steaks, so delicious.
Off the face of the planet. Forever. And the rate is accelerating.
I shouldn't do it, though, because I only shoot stuff I eat. And I like jackrabbits, but, man, one was about 1,000 yards away, 300 Win Mag at the top of a hill. You barely tell it was a jackrabbit. And it was just the shot. I just said, I'm going to take that jackrabbit. And these military guy goes, you can't take that shot. And then I guess right as I shot, it turned to run and hit it right in the spine. It was so pretty when I got over to it. That I shouldn't have done. But that was, I did a couple can hunts down at the 777 Ranch down in South Texas. That place is badass. And then the money goes to charity to teach kids how to shoot and to veterans. And then they, if you don't want all the meat, it goes to San Antonio homeless. But I wanted it all. Shot Axis with bow, whitetail with bow. They got a big research facility, a couple thousand acres set aside for the best whitetail you've ever seen for the breeding program of the state. Amazing. They're not a sponsor, but they shot. I haven't been down there in 10 years. I haven't had time. Went down there 3 times. Oh, the dove hunting is amazing. And that's not a canned part of it. They're not. They just come into those ponds by the hundreds. It's amazing. The best dove hunting I ever did was down there. I heard it's even better like in Argentina, but it's just incredible. All right, stop talking about hunting. That's enough. Start listening to Countdown to Extinction. I start salivating. By the way, the 777 Ranch has saved dozens of species. They'll get, you know, some really rare species out of Europe or whatever. There's only like 100 of them left. It's been there like 30-something years. And then they have the plaques and stuff where there's thousands of them now because you pay more for those mounts, you know, shoot those. I never shut the expensive stuff, and I'm like, the money, I'm going to blow it. And then they take the money, and then they repopulate back in the places where they've done it. It's pretty amazing stuff, actually. So a lot of those hunting places is actually not like Hollywood thinks. And Dave Mustaine admits that his earlier liberal stuff was wrong, like when he did the threat is real and all that stuff about Islam. Side issue. Back to your call. Stop babbling, Jones. I never have time to go hunting anymore. I went dove hunting about 2 years ago. It was pretty fun, but oh, I love dove hunting. Let me tell you, I dove hunt. Get you some big, juicy fatties. I don't shoot little ones. I shoot the big plumpies. And then you just got your backpack with a big plastic baggie in it, you know, the sealable type. You got some Worcestershire sauce in there, black pepper, salt, maybe some pulverized garlic, and a little bit of red wine. And you got about an inch of it at the bottom, and it's just folded up in your pack where you got your water or whatever and your shotgun shells. And then you just shoot each dove, and it's so easy. You just pull open the breast, get the breast out. It's got little feathers on it or whatever, put a little water on it, get your baggie out, bloop. And usually, you know, put 4 or 5 in your bag till you do it. Stop for 10 minutes, pull out the breast, put them in the marinade. And then right there, usually even at the camp, you come back in between, you know, 3 or 4, you got like 40, 50 birds. And then you fire up a charcoal grill and you just spread those breasts out right on that grill. And they've only been dead an hour or two. It's just like when you go deep sea fishing and you pull back to the deep sea fishing thing and they got the restaurants right there and they cut up your fish and give them to you in a cooler and you walk right in and you say, I got this mahi-mahi, I got this tuna, I got this redfish. And you just go, you can get it cooked with garlic, with oil, or you can get it fried. Good, delish. Oh, there's nothing like fresh red meat and nothing like fresh fish. I'm getting hungry right now. Okay, up next here. I apologize for going off deep in there. John in Michigan, you're on the air worldwide. Go ahead.
Yeah, Alex, I met Rex in Grand Rapids at Rage Against the War.
Awesome.
And I got to talk to him out on the patio for like a half hour. You raised a good man right there.
He's a good man.
Yes, he is. And I'm a warrior like yourself. I just want to give you my war cry.
That's pretty good.
By the throat and squeezing the air out of their lungs. That's what I'm talking about. Because we are at war right now, Alex. I'm with you, brother. And anyway, when I hear these paid people for Israel, they're on there, they're scripted. When you got Americana and God in your heart, you know they're fake right away. And it's like, I don't even listen to them. I just, you know.
Yeah, I'm sorry I subjected you to that Hilton guy last hour. Did you hear that guy?
Oh, yeah. I put him in the trash can the first time. I seen him for like, I don't know, 5 seconds. I'm like, who the hell's this dude? You're done. I could tell he's fake, but I think I might have a little bit of discernment.
I'll say this. He's definitely a candy ass.
Oh, you got that right. So a little bit of my background. I am a Desert Storm vet. I was on the John F. Kennedy during Desert Shield and Desert Storm. So I've been all over that region. And we shouldn't be in this. But I just wanted to touch base on that. Can I talk about data centers for 2 seconds?
Sure.
So in Michigan, the data centers are definitely a hot topic. And I'm on city council. I'm on the planning commission. So right now we're in talks to put language in so they can't come in. But it's not a one meeting and done. I mean, that's going to take.
Well, by the way, you heard the caller earlier that was all doom and gloom. 47% of local elections go unopposed. And then there you are, you running for office, city council, fighting the tyranny at point blank range on the ground, brother.
Yeah. And guess what? When they wanted to identify me at the local county seat, if I was a Republican or Democrat, and I said, no, I'm an American.
I love it.
And they slid it back across the table like 10 times. Finally, I said, you work for me. And I slid it back and I left with American.
You have done well, Lord Vader.
So that's how that worked. But yeah. So anyway, I've been listening to you since 2019 and, we are definitely brothers. I can tell you that.
Well, God bless you, man. And we couldn't do it without you, the listeners, and God bless you. Yeah, for people that are doom and gloom, I mean, okay, be doom and gloom. What's that get you out of? I mean, I don't just sit here and say we're winning. I mean, when I showed up, there was already a bunch of Patriots before me, but they didn't have the internet, any of this stuff. I just showed up at the right time. The show just was the biggest thing ever. Up until that time, reached the most people. Got syndicated, just all the right stuff. And people were hungry for the truth. It wasn't that I'm that good, just that it was the right place, right time. And we were basically like a four-wheel drive stuck in the axles up to mud. And now we've gotten out, dug ourselves out, and we're going up the embankment about 7-8 miles an hour, and we're not even sliding back. We're getting out of here. And I can see the top of the hill right there. And it isn't going to be some bed of roses. I'm not saying some utopia like the commies promised, but we just got to stop complying with tyranny and promote liberty, and we're going to win, baby. We don't have a choice. You know, I'm just going to say this and go back to calls. A lot of you out there, and believe me, this is not a positive for me, okay, overall. Okay? I mean, I got on air because I wanted to fight tyranny, but it was kind of fun 30 years ago, people starting to recognize me being on local news and, girls saying, oh, you're cool and all that kind of stuff, but I didn't do it for fame. But let me tell you, for at least 20 years, it ain't fun. You get to meet people, and it's great. But it's nice to go to a restaurant and nobody knows who you are is looking at you. It's nice to be at an airport. It's nice to be at the grocery store. It's nice to be able to go to church and not everybody look at you. It's fun to, just be a fly on the wall. But let me give people the good news about that, the fringe benefit. You wear a Trump shirt, you're going to find out how many Trump supporters there are. You wear a 1776, people stop you in the airport. If you're Alex Jones, I get 99% love of every race, color, and creed. But, I mean, I can't walk down the street without cars stopping. And, you know, I got places to go. I'm at the grocery store. I'm getting gas. And I'm always nice, stop, take pictures. Sometimes I'm late, pick up a kid or something. I'm like, I got to go. I mean, I can go, you know, to the video game place that has bowling and whatever, and I can barely bowl, I can barely play video games, because so many people are awake. The airport, I mean, I've done live feeds in the airport just to show you, and everybody's like, Alex Jones, Alex Jones, Alex Jones. That's how popular freedom is, because people see me as part of the liberty movement, which I am, of course, but because you aren't a public figure, you don't have an idea how awake people are. But the problem is, these other people, they don't know how awake people are. They don't know we're really a large minority, if not the majority. And the numbers are growing fast. So when it comes to the basis of people being awake, we're reaching critical mass here, okay? Very exciting. Back to calls here. Man, I got a prescription glasses 2 years ago, and I lost them. And I used to have 2015 vision, then it was 2020, and now, I mean, that's a pretty big TV screen over there. It's like 15 feet away, and I am just like trying to look at who's been holding the longest, and man, I've got like the eyesight of a mole when it comes to that. Scott in California, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Alex Jones.
Yes, sir.
You there?
Yes, sir.
All right. So, hey, I've been a longtime listener, going on 20 years now, and I have a little bit of exception on a couple different things. One is how you have categorized some people as a sovereign citizen, and I watched that happen just recently, and it's a really bad smear about people that study the system, and I've studied the system in depth. I've also gone into the root of the problem, which is what I was going to segue into now. The root of the problem, I see what you've been doing for all of these decades, and I have nothing but thanks for you. And also, you're welcome, because I've been spreading the word and being an info warrior for forever.
Well, let's be clear, and I'll let you have the floor. I had a lady call in 2 weeks ago mad, saying, you say boomers are all idiots. I said, no such thing. I said, statistically, they're still voting for neocon wars, and if conservatives and populists, they're the least awake on average. Okay? You know, that's like saying people from Guatemala aren't good at powerlifting on average. I'm trying to single them out. My point is that the whole sovereign citizen thing has a whole bunch of real law people and real stuff and real ideas, and it's good for the citizens pro se and all that. There's also a bunch of people that'll file fake deeds and fake stuff and stuff. I've been up one side and down the other, and so when I just in general say sovereign citizen, people need to know that it's a whole spectrum of things, from people that are dead on, like Red Beckman and others, to people that will get you thrown in prison. Does that make sense?
It makes sense, and I get that, and I totally agree with you. I'm not against that, but it's even the term sovereign citizen. That's a smear, okay? Because sovereign,
I know, but the general public only knows what that means. Sure, okay, sovereign citizen. How about just pro se inform people that know their rights?
Well, let's get off of that statement of sovereign citizen. Get back to the root of the problem. The root of the problem that I saw was on your show, and it was a really long time ago. You had John Perkins, the author of
Economic Hitman.
Mm-hmm. Right, brilliant. Okay, and he pointed out these little tiny snippets of things that are missing pieces in the thinking process of most people, and one of those things is the concept of what a corporation really is, and what the history of corporations were in the country and how it started. And we had 200 plus years of the British East Indies Company running roughshod all up and down everywhere. And the people who founded this country, they knew what was going on.
No, you're right. Corporations are living creatures. It's allowed the wealth to be transferred onto them while they take that power away from us for wealth transfers.
Well, we had these rules in place, okay? That was the thing. These are the rules that are super, super important, that as soon as people start to see it, it'll make a little bit more sense. And that number one rule is that corporations actually had three things that they had to adhere to in order to be chartered, and they could only be chartered by Congress. This is in the beginning of the country.
I know. Didn't it start with, like, canals they were building, so it had to be a public good?
You know,
it had to have a project length. Go ahead.
I don't know the process about why it was there, but I do know that those three rules were in place and Congress was the one that chartered the corporations. First of all, kings and esquires, the attorneys, they could just charter corporations willy-nilly. Okay, and they were immortal, and they didn't have to serve.
No, that's right. I mean, corporations are like a form of letter of marque.
Yeah, exactly. And so when it really came down to this corporation thing is we had these rules at first. Congress had to charter the corporation. Secondly, they had a limited lifespan of no more than 20 years. Now, if it's something that was fake, something that's not real, could last forever, and a man could only last for 80 years, let's make this realistic.
No, I know. When you brought up the topic, I addressed the fact that corporations are supposed to have a public good chartered by Congress and have an end date. And then when they got rid of that and created Standard Oil and all that was the beginning of the problems. And the globalists today are an extension of the British East India Company and the Dutch East India Company, and that's the model of the New World Order. That's why I said the New World Order is a British Empire model. It's not the British Empire, but it's the model of the British Empire, and Cecil Rhodes, that entire plan.
No, I totally agree with you, but here's the thing. It's like those three things went out the window in 1877 and 1878. Okay.
These are, and that's when they changed the Corporation Acts and allowed the trust to be formed. And then you had the 1906, Teddy Roosevelt with the trust busting, which we can enforce today, which is not enforced.
Let's go back to 1871, 1877. Okay. Yep. 1871 was the Organic Act of 1871. You mentioned this on your show one time, 13 years ago. I was like, he knows what's going on. And I've been waiting for 13 years to talk to you about this.
Well, then let's say this. Okay. Let's say this. So, I should do common law and real law U.S. history. I used to do that a lot. And things I've done, like I did what you're talking about hundreds of times, and I had all the real, and I use the term sovereign citizen because the public knows that. See, I used to say pirate radio is really legal if you do it this way. And the people, it's micro radio. People don't know what micro radio means. I would say pirate radio, explain that's not the right term. It's micro to introduce it. So people that don't know a term have to be taught the term by what it's known as. But there are real sovereign citizens, then there are the ones that don't that make it all look foolish. You say don't even use the term. The police listening right now don't know what I'm talking about, so I can educate them if I don't explain that to them. But yes, this is the heart of why we're enslaved, and it's what the whole globalist BlackRock is, the new British East India Company. And so who do you recommend? Because all the old-timers that were the real deal, that were victorious against the IRS, everybody else, Red Beckman and all them are dead. Who do you recommend? We should start, I agree with you, we need to go back to about the Federal Reserve. We need to go back about corporations, and I'm intending to start doing large portions of the show on basics because people don't know all that.
No, I that would be fantastic, but you got to go back even further, man. It's got to go back to about 1810. Okay, this goes back to 1810, man. I can go on and on. I would love to sit down with about three or four.
I understand. I know the dates. And it goes back to Magna Carta before that, and it goes back to the black nobility of what's in the city-states of what is Italy today. And I understand that, who then traveled to Scotland and set up their incorporations in the city of London. All of that is key, and I had ancestors that were involved in setting up the stock market, Lord Gresham and all the rest of it. So I've also been educated about it just through history books that my family's in. So, yes, it's all very important. But I just think in a short call, we can't do it. Who do you think, I mean, you sound like a smart guy. Who do you think is a good writer? Who do you think is a good, if we don't use the word sovereign citizen, what do we call it?
Well, you know, there was a guy who called up on your show the other day, and he talked about being an American state national. Okay. And I actually went through the process where I.
No, that's right. You don't give up your U.S. citizenship. You have to point out, I have states' rights, which they've run over. Like Article 10 in New Hampshire.
Actually, you don't give up your U.S. citizenship. You repudiate it.
That's what I just said.
U.S. citizen is defined under Title 8 U.S.C. Section 14.
Well, that's another way. What you do is you set up that the state citizen is what is in the basic incorporation of the colonies into the new republic, and that is the basis of your rights. You recognize the legitimate federal government and the articles in the Constitution, but then you repudiate the false corporate admiralty law, maritime administrative law system.
No, you don't. You actually don't even do that, Alex. You don't do that. You have to accept that exists too. It's under Article 3, Section 2, Clause 1 of the Constitution, where it talks about suits and admiralty and an equity.
But those, okay? but those acts have been expanded outside the constitutional scope, and many of them are null and void, and my point is there's ways to argue against that.
Right. No. Well, you know, when it comes right down to it, you were saying, who do I recommend? Now, listen, this guy doesn't have all of it right, okay? He's got about 90% of it, and there's certain people that have been filling in these little blanks, and I'm one of these guys that long as I go deep and
I got to get to other callers, bro. The thing with the sovereign citizen thing, that everybody knows the term as, is just an endless debate, an endless discussion, and so much the law of the system ignores. It's all force de jure, force majeure. It's all under just blind corruption now. Just overrun. They don't even follow the admiralties. They don't even follow the administrative. It's all just a giant corrupt free-for-all. And that's why we're in so much trouble. And so people that come up with even the right answers, it doesn't matter because the courts are so corrupt. In most cases, they'll run you over. I appreciate your call. And I'm not mad at the caller. It's like bringing up rocket science or fission fusion or, you know, trying to explain the double slot theory in 5 minutes or, you know, getting into quantum mechanics with people. It's and then at the end of the day, I mean, the average lawyer doesn't know anything. The judges are just political operatives most cases. I mean, and here I am being negative. I'm just saying I know a lot of stuff. I interviewed hundreds of people and studied law and looked at it all and everything, and I can tell you right now, it's a barrel of snakes. But it is true, if you know your basic rights and pro se things, you can tie them up and you can run them, and big banks try to take your house and sell your mortgage over and over again, and you go check the law, and the lawyers will take your money and hand your house over. You can go in there and tie their asses in knots. I mean, it is incredibly valuable, incredibly informative. But it takes years of study and research and then action and other stuff, and I know enough to get you hurt. So it'd be like calling me up saying, how do you remove an appendix? Well, I've read how you do it. In a medical book, but I would not pretend to sit here and tell you on air how to remove an appendix. All right. So, a lot of this just comes down to that this is complex, dangerous stuff. And I'm not about to sit there and on the air tell people how to become a rock scaler. I've done a little bit of rock climbing. I gotten hurt doing it. I'm a terrible rock climber. And if you called in and said, let's talk about rock climbing, I'd be like, I'm just not. You need to go out and take lessons and be careful. I mean, it's. I don't want to say it's above my pay grade, but all the guys I knew that were the real deal and weren't pitching patriot mythology and that had beaten the IRS and spent time in prison and done it, they're all dead. And, you know, Eustace Mullins, Red Beckman, a whole bunch of other guys. Gosh, I'm trying to remember all the names. Oh, what are their names? And so it'd be like if I'm your guide for Lewis and Clark, but I haven't gone across the country, I'm just like telling you, you know, and it turns into, well, this guy's got 90% right, but this person, blah, blah, blah. And then you got all these true believers that get into some guy that tells them this is the magic dust, and then you jack at the beanstalk, and that just ain't me. Hour number four, more calls. Jesse on fire. Giant topics straight ahead. Don't forget, tomorrow at midnight's the last day for the Mega 250 sale. Have you noticed all the big universities and corporate media and governments around the world run down America all day? That's because the American system stands against their globalist system. And as the public figures that out, their corrupt, tyrannical, oppressive, communistic, anti-human death cult can't compete with what America stands for. And we stand in the shoes, on the shoulders of our forebears. Whether you're black, white, Hispanic, old, young, if you love liberty and freedom, and if you want to be free, and if you want to control your own destiny, you believe in meritocracy, then America is for you. It's under attack because the idea of it stands in the way of the enemy. And America is a dream. Just like a dream to get married, or a dream to start a business, or a dream to write a poem or write a song. And when you do that, those dreams come true. But we have to breathe life into those dreams. They want to kill those dreams. Don't let them break your will. Be proud to be an American. And know people around the world still love America and understand it's the globalists that have hijacked us. And we're in the process of taking our country back from the Chi-Coms and the Israel lobby and the globalists and Hollywood and the left and all of them. And that's why it's so important to support the next leg in the info war at alexjoneslive.com. And, of course, at the alexjonesstore.com with the widest selection of Patriot apparel, the best supplements, collectible knives, the best water filtration, and more that will empower and enrich your life while keeping this beacon of truth on the air as we accelerate into the future and as the Great Awakening prepares the final defeats of the globalists and their Great Reset. I salute you all. This is 1776 2.0. We're unstoppable together. God bless you all.
You do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you.
The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing. Someone else will save the galaxy.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.